Department, Washington State again. It was the highest they ever had in an application for a job in the city of Calgary. And it had gone up more, now 150. And which shows if you use, I think that's a one case scenario, that if you use your brain, it's like any other muscle, the sum of the bits will develop.
Yeah. So after this initial job period, because it was a mix between getting a job at the gas company and then you went to play sports, and then you decided in about 25th of December 1948 that pro hockey was not your life and you went home for Christmas and a new look at life. And that's where we left off. So 1950, that would be 1949.
Well, jobs were very difficult.
1949, okay.
Jobs were very difficult at that time, and it was the only time, barring my old age pension and retirement, whatever the hell you call it, CCP or whatever it is, that I have utilized unemployment insurance or workman's compensation. But it had already come in, and I went, and I got $7 for 1 week. What do I do with it? I can go blow it on beer, or somebody suggested I go to, there was two business colleges, I forget the name, and I went and I took and I intensified on typing and shorthand. And in 1 week, I was typing 60 words a minute.
That was 1949?
That was in 49. I then didn't have to look for a job. I was hired by the City of Calgary Electric Light and Water Works Department. The guy just called me, come in. The business manager, of course, as Holly said, had advised him he was a good potential clerk. And then from there on, there were advancement notices in the city. I went to the, I applied for and got a little higher paying job at the back. There was a bunch on the business machines evaluating, really cross-checking the all the accounts sent out. And from there on, there was an announcement for an assistant in the engineering department. I applied and I got that. I was an assistant to the three engineers in the light department. One in particular, Ed Walker, ex-Yakunin, who was probably the most brilliant son of a bitch I ever worked for, oil industry or anywhere. And his two younger brothers were personal friends of mine in Tuxedo Park. He changed his wife in marriage. He later became one of the top management people in the city of Calgary.
No.
But he was embarrassed about being a ukulele. I later told his young brother, who played for the Stampeders, wrote him a letter, as a matter of fact. That was a pretty proud name in our neighborhood. I knew your mom and dad and your bigger brothers, and they were amongst my friends and the most intelligent people I knew. So these are fond memories. Three guys that were part of my life when I was young. And I kept in contact whenever possible till my later years.
You can get back to me if you like.
Then after that, of course, the fire department came. And to me, it was I was married now. And
that's after 1951.
51. And we weren't living too well because you didn't get paid much. And a job came up in the fire department where a lot of athletes were, which were personal friends of mine. And they hired me.
What's his name?
Oh, well, Ronnie English. I can go on. Half the fire department were athletes in those days. The shift bosses, as you might call them, battalion chiefs, hell, they were our pro athletes. Same as the police force. Half the officers were played for the Stampeders. In other words, the gas company, the fire department, the police department, and the brewery paid for the old seniors, as they call them. These were pro athletes. Paid their way for society, not the companies, or not the sports team. Anyways, this is where I got the highest marks that there was ever.
Yeah, that'd be great.
The guy came who was astounded to give the course. And I there learned side effects. Fort St. John's, I passed and was the, class one Fort St. John, first aid guy. And then all my firefighting. And they put me on the floor for about 2 months doing everything, driving the emergency, driving this, learning advanced driving. Emergency calls, the chief would call me to go out with him with the resuscitators. Yeah. And pretty soon, a new chief, Derek Jackson. Derek lived with me. His mom was in a mental institute when he was in high school. And when he was at the institute, my dad worked with his dad and Derek.
Okay.
So two things. Derek was a lifelong friend, very close. And second of all, I was his aide in the fire department. I was headed for you-know-what. But my dear wife knew Bill Anderson.
What year?
Circa, when did I go to work for Stanlin? About 51, too.
For Stanlin.
For Stanlin. And Bill Anderson got me the job with there. He didn't like me too much because I did drink a little bit. And it was a kind of a happy-go-lucky guy.
Pardon me?
But I got the job not because of talent, but because I could play hockey. And they won the Petroleum League of Hockey Championship that year.
Okay.
And I went from, an unknown pseudo, called a draftsman, to probably one of the best geological draftmen they had in the company within a year. And this befriended me with many young, brilliant Canadian geologists that worked for Stanlin that later became part of our wealth management and establishment, like John Rudolph and Bailey and Mike Horace. These were all VPs and majors, etc. They treated me like...
Wasn't Stanlin an oil company?
Stanlin was Standard Oil of Indiana. Later called Amoco, or Amoco. This was also for 3 to 4 times more money than I earned in the fire department.
Okay.
Which was, damn near a livable wage, and our included our first house. And in that period, somewhere...
When did you get your first house? When did you buy your first house?
Well, we bought it in Thorncliffe, because we lived in a basement apartment, and upstairs, attic, developed apartments, and we didn't have a lot of money, period. I forget what year Donna was born. When was Donna born, Irene?
September 1952.
52.
That's when you bought the house.
That was approximately. No, we didn't buy it till...
We bought the house after Lori. Lori was... 9 months old when we bought the house, and she was born in 1954.
Yeah.
So we bought the Thorncliffe house in the spring of, well, it was, jeepers, her birthday.
Spring 55.
In the fall.
Fall of 1955.
Yeah.
No, the fall of 1954. She was born in April, and it was the fall of 1954.
Okay.
And in this period at Stanlin, they made me a production clerk away from drafting. and I was the only one in Canada who wasn't trained. And that was an experience, because now I was giving out drilling bits and major purchasing. You're in effect a you're really the account for the oil company. The chartered accountants, they're just tax people. And gained an immense experience in oil field equipment and in the basics of business management. Pardon me?
Aerial photography, didn't you?
Oh, I took a course in aerial photography.
When at Stanley?
No, that was at BP.
When was that? Was later.
That was, oh Christ, chronography gets a little screwed up here. That was after I left Stanley. Mike Oreskovitz and Dave Bars, who became chief geologist and assistant at BP. They asked me to come over. They'd get me a job as a landman, which never worked out. But as a draftsman, I was advancing, and BP brought over their top aerophotogrammetrist, who was one of the, what do you call those guys, the scientists that invented things. And he was one of the handful of guys that discovered the V2 and the buzz bombs because of oblique photography. And these ramps that had nothing metallic around them. But anyways, he taught me how to make uncontrolled maps, because BP were used to this in the Middle East. There was no mapping. They had to make their own maps. And they were going to do the same, and they taught me how, and I made one map, which took about a month. And I told them after I made it, I said, Christ, you can buy the same map for about a buck and a quarter from the Alberta Department of Transport. So that killed that career, except for good usage later on moving rigs in the bush. I knew where to build buildings in the bush. You go where the poplars are, not the fir trees. Fir trees are muskeg, poplars are advanced vegetation, and they... you've got a potential of being able to put a road on them. And these are little side things. And then what the hell happened after? Oh, and then while I'm drafting, I get a phone call one day. Stanlin had brought up and had exploded in size to a full-sized corporate subdivision, so they had the usual bureaucratic detail, and bossman brought in, and I wasn't a trained one, so I didn't like the future, and that's when I moved to Stanlin. But they utilized me to...
No, wait a minute. Are you talking BP or Stanlin? It's confusing.
Oh, this is before...
this is before BP.
Yeah, with Stanlin. And they used me as a photogrammetrist even to select the roads.
And, but you said you did the aerial photography map making at BP.
Oh, that was later, yeah. Because I went to BP from Stanlin. And...
But did you do any map?
But anyways, the new production clerk came up. We got along well, but I didn't get along well with the chief and the guy running the production department.
At Stanlin.
So he actually fired me. I was back to drafting. And that's when I went over with Mike. However, when I'm drafting at BP, I get a phone call. Neil, a southerner. Neil Howell, yes, sir. My name is Aaron Singletary. Are you interested in a new job? Yes, sir. He said, well, I've been recommended, and the head of the production clerks in Stanlin had recommended me, because this drilling company was married to Stanlin in the States. That was my beginning with Hughley Drilling. They wouldn't hire me, though, till they met your mother. And this was, of course, no problem.
And what year did you join Stanlin again?
57. Oh, Hughley, you mean.
You said Stanlin.
No, you Stanlin recommended me.
The guy that fired him at Stanlin recommended him for that other job.
Yeah.
So Hughley Drilling.
Because it was also apparent at this time, I used to even coffee with the president.
So that was 1957?
Well, that's 52. I even...
No, Art Singletary of Hughley Drilling phoned you, recommended by
Stanley. Yes, it was in the fall of 57. I forget the months.
His firing was a scapegoat thing. He had to take the fall for something that happened.
I took the fall because of the production boss who had suggested I try this. I did it. And the field hand didn't, and I was caught in the middle. And I'm not a tattletale, so I got my ass fired.
Why, because you weren't qualified for the...
No, my boss advised me wrong.
Advised you what?
We were moving in out north of Cochrane on a well, and it was raining like hell. And there was nothing but mud in those days on the road. And he suggested pipe. You generally bring it in, the first stuff to go in, bring it in first and lay it out, and the second depths, and set, this is a controllable system. And he suggested me bringing it in so they could run it in the hole as they brought it in. It didn't work, and I guess there was a jungle of trucks tied up in the mess out there, and it cost several days drilling time. And I was just obeying orders, and I got fired.
Mm.
So, but he backed it up with promoting me for this job when Hughley was looking for a Canadian to manage their drilling company. I now had a general knowledge of geology, accounting, production, and very low mid-management in the oil industry with no formal education, although I had taken a lot of courses. And this, of course, just fit in with the drilling company, which basically, if you got two rigs, there's one man, and I was receptionist, secretary, pay clerk, and boss. So I did all that pre-stuff. It was also in the day when American drilling companies didn't keep books. They just took money in and had an incoming pocket and an outgoing pocket, and I did basic cost accounting for them, and they would phone me to ask me if they had any money. I was also learning from now through my hockey and working at Stanlin that who you knew was very, very important. And I knew a lot of people in top level through my sports and my gregariousness, I guess. Just have always been interested in people.
So Stanlin was from 1957 to when? Oh, no, not Stanlin, Hughley.
Hughley, 57 till about, I was about 62, and then Iron Singletary died.
Iron.
They called him Iron because he was from the age, he was all American. He played for several universities, and that was a thing in his day when things were tough. These college basketball players, football players in the state would just go from one university to the other, and they got paid and kept in the whole ball of wax. He married into one of the wealthiest American establishment families, the Slick Urschels, who were in their day, like Hunt's or...
Slick Herschel?
Slick Herschel. And Jim Hughley married undoubtedly the older sister because he had more power. In other words, more of the control over the money and the wealth. That is an assumption. These were two very effective men that have affected my life in their thoughts and sayings, and of course they're bringing up by their wealthy parents, and things like after 1 month Iron came up and said, God, I'm impressed how much you know about a drilling rig, because I had hardly even seen a drilling rig in my life, let alone run a company. But he says, Neil, it's just made by the same manufacturer as your competitor. He says, it's not the drilling rig, it's who you know. Yeah. And this became the essence of my work life from that point forward.
That's Iron Singletary, is I-R-O-N.
That's what I said.
It was a nickname.
Yeah. Yes,
because he was an Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Yeah. And Jim Hughley was the first liquor governmental guy in Tulsa, when Oklahoma became opened up the doors to bars, etc. And then later became mayor of Tulsa, just for something to do. He was very impressive too.
That's Iron Singletary.
No, this is Jim Hughley.
Well, Jim Hughley.
That's who the company was named after. They were also married, as I call it, basically to Staniland and Phillips Petroleum. So it assisted me in obtaining work from Staniland and Phillips in Canada considerably.
Is so that they were related through marriage or just corporate?
Oh, they knew the guys that created the companies and that drilled for the Rockefellers and Frank Phillips and the stories. This was just part of the oil industry in those days. Most service companies started, the big well-known names, associated with the big names in oil, which are the five majors in my day were BP, Shell, Exxon, Staniland, and Saucony Mobil, which is Standard Oil. Gulf. Gulf was, Mellon. Phillips Petroleum was Phillips.
So BP, Shell, Staniland, Gulf, and what was the other one?
Some BP, Saucony? Shell, Gulf, Staniland.
Saucony something.
Exxon. And, Christ, I can't see. BP number one in reserve, Shell number two, Exxon number three.
How about Hudson's Bay?
No, they weren't even in the...
Those Canadian companies were just... You said Saucony something.
Juniors.
You said Saucony.
Well, I was wrong on that. Saucony is a Standard Oil company. But these were basically the five majors, and they were so much bigger. And when you took their marketing and refining, and they were all in the Middle East, maybe not Gulf. They were ahead of...
But Standard Oil Company was kind of like Exxon.
What?
Standard Oil Company was Exxon.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you said Saucony was not in the ranks.
No, they weren't the big five, but they were originally owned by... anything that says Saucony, Standard Oil Company of New York. Ohio is Standard Oil Company of Ohio. Southern California, or California Standard, as it was originally called, was the California Standard Oil Company. Exxon is the Greek for Esso is Standard Oil. Esso in Canada is S-O, Standard Oil of Canada, originally Imperial Oil. You can go on and on. I mean, this shows up in Saucony was Standard Oil Company in New York. This was all one company, and they made them split. And now they allow the companies, you know, they'll end up one company in the States in a few. Well, it'll be the government.
Well, they can't run companies because of the environmental and stupidities.
Oh, shit.
Americans are killing their own economy.
And they later bought, like, Gulf and Pacific, or pardon me, Phillips bought Pacific Petroleums, which was Bill McMahon, and Texas bought Canadian Oil Company, these were some names that were locally big, but they were small oil companies.
Well, Texaco was
Bay,
big too.
Hudson's Bay was bought by Gulf. I think I said that.
But Texaco was pretty big too, wasn't it, at the time?
Texaco was one of the majors, but very independent of the other majors. Even Stan McArdle, the CEO in Calgary, who your mother and I knew, he and his wife, he wouldn't even visit with the other oil companies. They were that, you know, you hear all this carteling. Most of these guys hated each other's guts and wanted to get them out of the way.
Okay, we'll stop there for a minute.
Yeah.